Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I know you are awake. I can hear you. I can see it. And I hope you keep yourself awake during the sermon. I mean, that's my number one purpose today. So, but thank you. I want to thank you, all of you, and Chris and Therese, to invite me over. And I want to thank all of you for the incredible example you guys are. Because you guys are awesome. You are a great example all over the world. I mean, people know what's going on in Chicago. People is amazed of what God is doing in Chicago.
Come on.
Because people, I mean, cannot ignore the miracles of God. You guys came to Chicago, and man, God is using you in a powerful way, and you can see it. I can feel it. I am happy to be here today. Amen. And so I have an awesome message from God, and I hope you can understand at least a little bit of it. I'm going to preach in Spanglish, as you hear. So, but we have a great title. The title of the lesson is, which did came first, the chicken or the egg? And, you know, you may not do a stupid questions. You may not one of those persons. But, you know, we all hear those questions. The world is full of stupid questions. Because the world is filled with stupid people. And some of those questions are, what was first, the chicken or the egg? Is the water wet or liquid? Is the sun bright or hot? Was Jesus a man or God? Is the earth rotating or translating? Well, does Victor preach in Spanish or English? Is Chicago beautiful or is big? Is the Chicago Christian Church faithful or joyful?
Come on, man. We're both, bro.
Both. A disciple of Jesus should be fruitful or spiritual.
Oh, it's the cross, bro. Come on. Stupid.
Stupid all.
So open your Bibles in John 15.
Come on.
All right,
bro. Come on, bring it here.
John 15.
Come on.
Verse 1. The Bible says, I am the true vine. This is Jesus speaking. I am the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you.
Come on now.
No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I mean, Jesus knows we're stupid, so he repeats it, so we can maybe understand. Amen? You see that? Can you see that in the Bible? You know, it's just, it's over and over and over, the same thing. Because we need that. Well, it says, verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now, remain in my love. I mean, it's no question about it. That God wants us to know how to be fruitful. And that's my first point.
Come on.
So before we go that, we need a little bit more than talk about it over and over and over.
Yep.
We need God.
Amen.
To understand. So let's pray. Amen.
Amen.
God, we are before you at this time. God, humble, grateful, and God, we just want to ask you something. God, please help us to understand your word. We know you want us not to be ignorant. We know, God, that you don't want us to be confused. We know, God, that you want us to be prepared and do the work you are expecting us to do, God. Please help us this morning. to understand your message and to put it into practice, God. Be with us. Help us all. Help us to have the heart that can receive your word and put it into practice. We pray, God, in the name that is above any other name. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, you know, this is my favorite chapters in the Bible.
Amen.
And the point number one is how to be fruitful. Every Christian wants to know that. Every Christian is asking that question. How can I be fruitful? How can I do that?
Yeah.
Well, you will know today. It's up to you if you do it or not, but you will know it.
Yeah.
How to do it? Well, Jesus is clear. Number one, it says you need to remain in the vine. He says, don't think you can do it by yourself. That is stupid.
Yeah.
That's also one of my favorite questions. I mean, words. Stupid. Because, you know, since I became Christian, I was like, man, I'm stupid. How can I get this before?
Come on, bro.
Remain in the vine. Everybody understand that concept. So simple. You get a branch out of the vine, it's not going to bear any fruit. It's going to die. So we all know that. We're not that stupid. We understand that, right? Remain in the vine. How you remain in the vine?
Come on.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
See, a lot of people think, well, I know. They say, how? Well, you pray. You read your Bible. You know, and you're connected with the Lord. Let me tell you, that's not true.
Come on, bro.
There is millions of people that are not Christians. They're not connected with the Lord. Then they believe and do what God doesn't want them to believe and do. And they pray more than you, and they read their Bibles more than you. But they're not connected with the Lord. And they're not making disciples. You're not going to be connected with the Lord if you read your Bible and pray. I mean, that is the easiest thing to do. I mean, who doesn't like to pray? I mean, you go to God and, I mean, this is a joy. Go to the Father and pray. And that's awesome. Everybody can do that. Even the little kids. Everybody.
Come on, bro. That's true.
Everybody.
Wow.
Read your Bible. Everybody can read the Bible.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you don't know how to read. I read it to you. It's just easy.
Come on, bro.
See, but Jesus wants us to know how to remain in the vine. He wants us not to be ignorant. So he said it. He said it. So we don't have doubts.
Yeah.
Let me come back. John 15 and verse 10. It says, if you obey my commands. Ooh!
Oh.
What? If you obey, you will remain in my love. Just as I have obeyed my Father, my Father's commands, and remain in his love. Ooh, we are in trouble now. Because obeying is not something only difficult, but it's something we don't like to do. Nobody likes to obey. You may not believe this, but not even my kids. Not even me. Nobody likes to obey. That's why everybody who is in authority is in trouble, because everybody criticizes them. The government, the police, the teachers, the fathers, the husbands, everybody who has authority is in trouble because nobody likes to obey.
Right.
But guess what? That's the only way you can remain in the vine, if you obey Jesus.
Come on, bro.
That's what he said. I'm not making this up. Look at your Bible. It says, if you obey, you remain in me.
Come on.
And Jesus just put a little bit more on it. He says, as I obey my Father, and I remain with my Father. See, Jesus, even Jesus, has to obey. And he learned obedience.
Yeah.
That's what Hebrews says.
Come on, bro.
So who do you think you are? Then you don't have to obey. Who do you think you are? Then you think you don't have to learn how to obey. Matthew 28:20. The most important thing it says, teach them to obey. Teach them to obey. If you don't obey the Lord, you will not be connected with Him.
Wow. Come on, bro. Come on, bro.
So we nail it? We understand that?
Yep.
Amen.
Come on.
No. Obey what?
Come on.
Okay, let's keep reading.
Verse
11. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this. There you go. Love each other as I have loved you. Great love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends.
Wow.
You are my friends if you do what I command. See, Jesus was friendly. See, you are my friend if you do what I command.
Come on, bro.
No longer I call you servants, because a servant does know what his master's business is. And instead I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from you, from my Father, I have made you know. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Just in case you didn't get it the first time, it says, this is my command. Love each other.
Amen.
So, if we love each other, we will be fruitful.
Yeah.
That's it. See you later. That's it. Now, because I know not all of you, but at least me, you know, I talk for me. Sometimes we are very, not just stupid, but very stupid.
Come on,
bro.
So we say, love each other. Who is each and who is other? You know? Okay. Let me explain to you. Who is each and who is other? Amen? Listen. Listen. Each other. Who lives with you? That's where everything starts. Who lives with you? You need to love your wife. My wife? Yes, your wife. If you don't love your wife, you will not be fruitful. If you don't love your husband, if you don't love your kids, you will not be fruitful.
Come on. See?
What are you talking about? So you think, you say that if I don't love my family, if I take the invitations and go to the mall and get somebody and study about with them and baptize them, I'm not being fruitful? No, you're not. Because you can make disciples. Everybody can make disciples. You know that Satan has disciples?
Yeah, he does.
And you know that those disciples of Satan go and make another disciples of Satan? You know that somebody who is a musician has a disciple, and they have the potential to teach them music. And that person will learn, and he will have the potential to teach other people music.
Right.
But they're not disciples of Jesus.
Right.
In other words, if you don't love, you can make disciples of you, not of Jesus.
Wow.
Because they will be just like you.
Come on.
People, religious people, hypocrite people, they love how they think they can love. They love the persons in the mall, but they don't love their wives. They love everybody, but not the person who lives with me. That is not a disciple.
Wow.
That is not Jesus-like. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you have to love the persons, the people who live in your household.
Come on, bro.
First.
Come on.
And you will be fruitful. And how am I going to be fruitful? Well, I don't know. The Bible says, God gives the growth. You have to realize this. Why? The Chicago Christian Church is growing and growing, and they double in a year. Because you love one another.
Right.
Period. It's God who's doing it, not you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's because if you remain in the vine, God is going to give you fruit.
Come on.
because he's happy. He's fired up to see their kids loving each other. So, and after that, what? Well, you need to love the people in your Bible talk. So there's a lot of needs in your Bible talk. And some people think, oh, I really love you. I feel like, no, that's not love. You hug somebody and say, oh, I love you. That is not love. Love is when you see a need and you give up everything to meet that need. That's what Jesus did with you. He loves you. That's love. That's what Jesus says right here. Maybe you missed it, but he says, no one has more love than this. To lay your life for others. That's love. So when you see a need in your Bible talking, you go the extra mile and say, what can I do to help you?
Come on.
Maybe it's encouragement. Maybe it's a rebuking. Maybe it's a right. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's I don't know what. But whatever the need is, you need to meet those needs.
Come on.
Come on, bro.
That is love.
Come on.
What about the whole church? I mean, I talked to somebody who is not a Christian this morning, and I almost asked him, why you're here? Because he was saying, oh, I go to another church. And I was thinking, well, so why are you here? But before I ask, he said it. He said, and you know what? I come here because I see the hand of God here.
Amen. Come on.
You know,
come on, bro.
In Mexican we say amor. In English they say love. Because God is love.
Yeah.
When you see love, you say God is here.
Yeah.
That would bring people. Wow. You love each other, you have an awesome loving church like this one. People will come and say, oh man, nobody will get me out of here. Because I feel love. You know what I mean? That's what God does. Some people think, you know, I'm very smart. I know how to speak. I can convince anybody to become disciple. Yes, you can. And he will be just like you. But if you want to make a disciple of Jesus, you need to love. And then Jesus is going to be involved. And the Holy Spirit is going to transform the heart. And that person is going to be just like Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. What about the babies, the new Christians?
Come on.
Man, one of the biggest mistakes. Yeah. Oh, we baptize Pedro. Oh, Pedro is awesome. But then the next week, nobody cares about Pedro.
Oh,
and Pedro says, well, what happened? Everybody, it seems like I was the most awesome person in the earth. When I came, I mean, everybody was, oh, Pedro, oh, where are you from? Oh, your baby is beautiful. Oh, whoa, whoa. I just got baptized. Nobody calls me. I get to church and they say, oh, no, that's baptized already. Let's focus on that.
Come on.
Let me tell you something. I have 10 kids, but they were babies one time. And I know by experience, when a baby is born in a house, everybody's attention is on the baby. You know why? Because that baby, number one, is a blessing from God. And number two, that baby cannot do almost nothing by itself. You have to feed him, you have to clean him, and I know what it means. And you have to take care of him, otherwise he's going to die. You have to take care of him. So, when a baby is born in the family of God, what the family of God needs to do? Everybody focus on that baby.
Right.
Take care of that baby. Oh, the baby goes. That baby is going to grow up, and guess what? That baby is going to be so big, so strong, he is going to take care of you and your kids.
Come on, bro.
But if you don't love, you will not be fruitful. Because God is going to see that and say, wrong. You know what? I'm mad. I'm not going to give you another baby. Because you don't take care of that baby that I just gave you. So I'm going to give you more. But if you take care of that baby, God is so fired up. Because those baby Christians are God's children. So God is so hard. How do you feel when somebody mistreats your children? So God's so fired up. Says, man, I give you more and more and more. Because I know you will take care of them. Another thing, the new Christian is feel love and love. You know what that baby is going to do? He's going to love other person. Because that's what you teach them. Not with words, but with actions.
Yeah.
What about the lost people? The people who don't know God, do you really love them? You see them around you all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sad. Yesterday, I mean, I was like, I was very busy, so I didn't have time to cry, but I want to cry. There's so many people, so many Latin people, so many people from every race dying without God. What are you doing about it? When somebody don't care, when somebody doesn't want to give something up in order to meet that need, you're not loving. And if you don't love, you will not be fruitful. Period. Amen. So let me see if I'm going well. Whew. Okay. So I'm over here. Yeah, and I just want to share a little bit. You know, I come from LA. Some of the stuff that Chris says is absolutely true. Some. Maybe it's true in his mind, you know, like that I'm awesome and all that kind of thing. I don't know about that. But you know what? God is using us in an awesome way in L.A.
Come on, bro.
In L.A., we were directed and expected to love one another and everything that moves. And God bless it. We moved 3 months ago with 44 disciples. Today, we're 106.
Wow.
You know what? Nothing is happening in any part of the world. And you can see those guys, they're disciples of Jesus Christ. You know, some people say, well, you know, we're having baptisms too.
Amen.
Some people say, well, somebody rebuked me for mentioning things and names and everything, so I'm not going to do that.
Amen.
But some religions, you know, have a lot of additions to their church. I mean, way more than you.
Yep.
They say, yeah, that's true. But when I see all the trees, I can see a tree full of lemons. Another one with 100 oranges. Let me tell you, those lemons can be thousands, but they're not oranges. They're lemons.
Yeah.
And again, you want to make disciples of Jesus?
Come on, bro.
Or you want to make religious people?
Wow.
That is selfish.
Come on, bro.
That is lazy. That is just living for them and not for the mission not for the goal that God has in his heart.
Amen.
To wish everybody to be saved.
Yes.
Everybody to be saved. Not everybody to go to church.
Come on, bro. Come on.
It's a different thing. So if you are a disciple of Jesus, you will love. And you will have fruit. You will make disciples of Jesus. Not of you.
Yep.
Amen? So I'm fired up about what God is doing. But you know what? I'm even more fired up about what God is going to do in the Jubilee in Portland.
Come on.
Because when the brothers and sisters get together, it is something incredible. I mean, it's awesome. You can experience that. You come in, you can be by yourself walking in the street, and you will be so happy because you're praying or you're with God. Oh, man, God is awesome and stuff. Yeah. But when you get in a car with another two or three disciples, you get like, oh, and you just like,
man.
Oh, fire it up. And then you get a church, and they say, oh, you know, it's awesome.
Yeah, come on.
Now, can you imagine what it's going to be in Portland with all the disciples together, praising God, fellowshipping with each other, learning from the Word of God? It's going to be incredible.
Amen.
So I have a question for you about the Jubilee.
Come on.
And the question is not a stupid question. Okay? Don't feel bad if you made this question. That doesn't mean you're stupid. That means you made a stupid question. Okay? Don't feel bad. We all do mistakes, amen? The question is not, are you going to the Jubilee? That is a stupid question. The question is not, hey, so are you planning to go? That is a stupid question. Let me tell you, my question is, How are you going to go to the Jubilee?
Amen.
How? I mean, God gave us a brain. God gave us a church. God gave us His Spirit. And we claim to be disciples of Jesus. For Jesus, nothing is impossible. Let me tell you something. For you, nothing is impossible if God is with you.
Come on.
You can go. The only person that can stop you to go is you. How are you going? Well, let me know, and I'll see you over there. Amen? Point number two. So the point number one, we nail it. We know how to be fruitful. Amen? We need to remain on the vine, and we know how to do that. Amen?
Amen.
Obeying, which means love one another.
Come on,
bro. Point number two is John 15 talking about the fruit of the Spirit or making disciples.
Come on,
come on.
Come on, talk about that.
Point number two. What about the fruit of the Spirit? Well, let's go to Galatians chapter 5.
Come on, bro.
And let's see what God says about it. Because I really don't care what you say about it. And I hope you don't care about what I say. We all care about what God says.
Amen. Come on.
So God says, Galatians 5, in verse 16. So I say, Galatians 5:16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. See, everybody likes the verse 22 and on. Everybody loves that. People talk about it all the time. Look! They say, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, kindness. This is awesome. It's like if, you know, I'm going to be walking around and just, it's going to get out of me like natural, you know, love and faithfulness and everything, because I do have the Holy Spirit.
Come on, baby.
So everything is going to come out naturally. That is a lie. That is a lie. Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, you deny yourself.
Deny yourself. Come on.
You want to remain in the vine, you obey me. What that means? So I say, verse 16, live by the Spirit.
Yeah.
Because there is a battle inside of you. Verse 17, it says, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So you need to make a decision. It's your decision to obey the Lord and live by the Spirit.
Come on.
Let the Spirit produce that fruit. See, those oranges, then every single orange have seeds. And those seeds are going to bear another tree. See, John 15, I mean, how can you separate these two? People argue about it. That's stupid. You cannot separate them. You cannot be fruitful and produce disciples of Jesus.
Come on, bro.
If you don't have the fruits of the Spirit. It's impossible.
Come on, bro.
Like it's impossible to have the fruits of the Spirit all over you and not make disciples.
Come on, bro.
You cannot separate them.
No.
They go together. But it's your decision. It's your decision. You have to live by the Spirit.
Yes.
You have to win the battle inside of you.
Right.
You either listen to your sinful nature or you listen to the Spirit of God that is in you. It's your decision. What are you going to do? If you obey the Lord, you will remain on the vine and you will be fruitful. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what I have to say about the fruit of the Spirit. If you're not a disciple of Jesus, you can make a lot of disciples again.
Come on.
But disciples of you, not disciples of Jesus. So, we need to think about this, and we need to make a decision. And you know, this decision is not when you get baptized. Only.
Come
this decision is every day and every opportunity.
Yeah. Right.
You have to decide it every moment. I'm going to live by the Spirit because the temptation is going to come.
Yeah.
You see what? Temptation of what? Temptation of lie or steal? Or yes, but also temptation to be selfish.
Yep.
Temptation to be lazy.
Yeah.
Temptation to be a hypocrite.
Yeah.
And don't love people.
Right.
And if you give up, then you will not be living by the Spirit. You will not be fruitful.
Come on.
You understand that?
That's right.
Point number three. What did came first? The chicken or the egg? Was Jesus a loving person? Or he was making disciples? Is the love a fruit of the Spirit? Or is it a command of Jesus? Let's go to 1 John chapter 4.
Come on, bro.
This is awesome, bro.
See, some people even talk about, well, I don't know what you're doing, but I know the biggest command is to love God.
Come on, bro.
So I don't care about baptisms or numbers. I just care to love God. Because that's the biggest command. Well, let's see what God says, okay? 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. Verse 10. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loves us. Verse 19. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yes, hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom has not seen. And he has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother.
Come on.
So this is a command. See, somebody claims to love God, well, that's awesome. Everybody agrees that's a great command. We need to love each other then. Because we need to understand that the only reason why we love one another is because we love God. That's why. You cannot love one another if you don't love God, because love one another is a sacrifice. Love is sacrifice.
Yes.
We don't even want to love God. Remember your past life. Remember. You're being like Peter, like Paul, like me, like everybody else.
Yeah.
We live a sinful life.
Yeah.
Separate from God, sinning against God, rebellious. We didn't want to love God because He's a sacrifice. So why you love God? Well, the Bible is clear, because He loves you first.
Yeah.
And when you see how much God loves you, you got melt and says, man, how can I love back if He gave up everything for me? And then you love God.
Right.
This is the problem. The people around you didn't do anything for you. How can you love them? Well, now you are expecting them they do something to you so you can love them back. See? That's why it's a command. Everybody can love somebody who do something good to you. You should teach that. But it's difficult to love somebody who doesn't deserve be loved.
Yeah.
Come on.
But you need to understand, that's you. And you're being loved by God.
Wow.
So now God is commanding you to love each other.
Amen.
Amen?
Mm. Amen.
Well, let's go to Matthew. Matthew 5:43.
Come on, bro.
Come on, Vic.
Come on, bro.
Keep it coming.
Because you may say, well, Jesus really teach that? Well, yes. Verse 43, it says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect. Therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So is John 15 about the fruit of the Spirit or making disciples? See, this is what happened first, and we need to understand it. It's very simple. God loves us first. That's the first thing that happens. Number two, then in response, we love God. So we live by the Spirit. We deny ourselves and love God. Then we are obeying God. So we love others. Not because they deserve it, but because we love God. And when we love others, we're living by the Spirit, and then we are going to be fruitful. You understand that?
Come on, bro.
The reason people is not fruitful is because they are not loving others. They are not grateful of Jesus, and they are selfish. Live by their sinful nature. God cannot use people like that. Disciple of Jesus is in fire. It's joyful. You can see it.
Yeah.
You can see it. I mean, I'm not going to tell you the name of the church or anything, but one day I was invited to preach. And I went and I saw a few people, but especially one brother. He's a brother, a brother, okay? All in the church and everything. He was not singing. And I know that brother for years.
Come on, huh?
And I went to talk to him and say, bro, what happened?
Oh, wow.
Said, well, bro, I'm sorry. Says, I didn't have a songbook, and I really don't know the words. Oh, really? How come? I know you. How come you are always singing the songs in the radio? Bro, you're not stupid. You don't have a mental problem. You don't have a memory problem. You have a heart problem.
Yeah.
How in the world you cannot sing God is Alive?
Wow.
And you can sing all the other songs in the radio.
Huh. Come on, bro.
See, when you have a disciple, you can see that.
Yep.
The Spirit is on you.
You see it, bro. It's right.
And you can see the fruit. Don't tell me that, oh, well, no. The Bible is the same.
Come on.
Disciples are the same people.
Come on.
All the time.
Right. Amen.
You can tell when somebody's a disciple or not. Yeah. I mean, let's face it, guys. Sometimes we have a break. I don't know if you have a break on the service. Hey, let's have a break, or fellowship break, or something. Or after the service, or before the service. I mean, you can tell, you can see who is a disciple and who's not.
Yep.
Because whoever is not a disciple, just stay, sit down and look in the floor. Or go to the wall and just like... But whoever is a disciple, he goes all over the place and hugs people and smile and give their heart and their love and everything. You can see it. So, I mean, I know God cannot be mocked. He knows who is his son, who is living as a disciple, who's not. But I want you to know too. Don't be misled. Okay? Because it's a lot of garbage out there. It's a lot of philosophy, a lot of God, blah, 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 blah. No. Here's the Bible. This is the truth. Amen. Disciple of Jesus. Disciple of Jesus, go anywhere. Do anything. Give up everything. And then God bless it. That's why you're here. You are a great example of that. Everybody knows that. And they are witness of what God is doing. And they haven't seen nothing yet.
Come on.
I mean, this is going to be awesome.
Come on.
Everybody's going to look, oh man, remember how they start? Remember how we laugh about them? Woo! And that's what God wants. God wants everybody to fear God.
Come on.
Because God cannot be mocked. Amen?
Come on, bro.
Come on.
Amen. Well, let's go to Matthew 7.
Come on, bro.
We're almost in the half of the sermon, okay?
Oh, no.
I'm sorry.
Remember already.
Get anything.
Matthew 7. 15. It's says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves.
Wow.
By their fruit, you will recognize them. See, we're talking about being fruitful, amen? Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes? Or figs from trishlis? I don't even know what is that, but that's what it says. Like, we don't have those trees in Mexico, believe me. Likewise, every good tree, that's what it counts, okay? The Bible says, every good tree. I know what is that, a good tree. Bears good fruit. But a bad tree bears bad fruit. See, it's not a question about if it's being fruitful. The question is what kind of fruit you have.
Wow.
See, I mean, I didn't come today here and say, well, you know, I can see, gee, this is the mission team. They're all fired up. These are the new additions. No, I mean, everybody's fired up. Everybody's on fire for God. Why? Because the fruit is good because the tree is good. You know what I mean? So, don't be misled. That's, the Bible is clear. God wants us not to be ignorant. God wants us to be and see it clear. Verse 19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them.
Amen?
Amen?
Yep.
You know, sometimes people say, well, that's awesome. I understand, but, you know, it's so difficult. I mean, you don't understand. I have to drive, like, 40 minutes to get to church.
Talk about it, bro.
You don't understand. I have 4 kids. I haven't think about it, but because Chris said it, I just gonna tell it in. Why not? If it's useful, amen.
Come on.
You know, I do have 10 kids. Okay? And my wife has a sister who was not a Christian and had 3 kids. So we were all fired up going to church every Sunday, like all of you, early. Not on time, but early.
Amen.
And then, you know, we invite over this sister, Nati. Nati comes to church. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sometimes she show up at 11. And she says, what happened? Well, you know, my kids and the breakfast and the hair. And she says, okay. She says, Sonia, we need to help this, your sister. Says, okay, amen. 8 o'clock in the morning, we were in her house, Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, with all our 9 kids, because we didn't have 10. At that time, we only have 9. So it was a small family, you know. And it's small in every way, because it was a small in number and a small in size, because all Victor was 11. So everybody like, you know. Oh, I forgot. And Sonia was pregnant. So we went 8 in the morning, say, knock the door and wake them up. Tell you what happened. Oh, we come to help you. So Sonia, get the girls, start shower, make breakfast. Okay, let's go. 9 o'clock, let's go. Okay, let's go. It is possible? Absolutely it's possible.
Come on, bro.
But when you are lazy, then you put obstacles
come
to
on.
Yourself. Nobody is putting obstacles to you.
Yeah.
Say, well, yeah, my kids. That's not an obstacle. The kids are blessing of God.
Come on, bro. Come
in fact, the kids are messengers of God to help you get in heaven, to help you to be humble, to help you to be spiritual, to remind you about God and how weak you are. As they are growing, I feel like, oh man, I really need God. Now, that is a sacrifice, isn't it? Of course, we all agree, that is a sacrifice.
Come on,
bro. That is what God is calling us to do. God is calling us to make sacrifices for each other. And he put the example in Jesus. See, one sister, long time ago, this is a story, she was sick.
Come on.
And she was like, she knew she's going to die in 2 months. So she got together with the leader and said, hey, I want you to take care of everything. You say, okay. So everything was in order. You know, this is what is going to happen. Somebody already know, and legal, everything is going to take care of my kids, and this and that and that. And there is where I'm going to be buried. So, amen. Everything was done. And then she says, but you know what? I forgot something. When I was buried, I will be buried, I want to be buried with a fork in my hand.
Fork. See,
fork? See, did that surprise you? Well, kind of, yeah. What do you want the fork on? You see, I want everybody to look at me when I'm there and see the fork in my hand and ask you why she has a fork in the hand. And I want you to answer that question. And I want you to tell them. Because you know what? When I was little, I remember going to a party. And always my mom told me, hey, keep your fork. Keep your fork. And I was happy because that means the best is just to come. You know, a great dessert or something awesome. So I keep my fork. I want everybody to know. Then the better is just to come. That's why I have my fork in my hand. So you know what? Yes. God is calling us to sacrifice. But you know why? Because the better is just to come. It's going to be awesome. So keep your fork. Amen? Keep your fork. Guys, I have something else to say.
Come on. Bring it. Bring it.
Keep your fork.